As Casey said, we are so grateful to the men of the church for what happened yesterday to Jim, Norm, and all that crew, Jack, Don, John, Bill, everybody. They start weeks, months in advance to begin that process. It takes hours and hours. As soon as they put the grills across the lawn, people start banging on the door. Our phones start ringing as soon as the signs go up, and they don't quit till after Marianne leaves on Friday. That's why I don't work on Friday afternoons. What a glorious day. If you don't come help pull pork, you miss it. It is so much fun. And we had a house full here early morning, and then even when I got here, I'm too old to get here at 5 o'clock. Anyway, and we had fun all day long, did we not? Did we not? We had more desserts, and y'all gonna enjoy those desserts for fellowship time for weeks to come. Are y'all gonna love them and say, ooh, isn't this good? Anyway, what a day it was, and what a joy. And the joy continues because the money raised goes to help people in our communities. It just doesn't stay here. We spread that love. And so we are so grateful to the men of the church, not only for the barbecue, but for what all they do throughout the week. We could not do what we do without these faithful servants of God. So we give God the glory for the men of our church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What a glorious time it is, even on a rainy Sunday, to be in the house of God, to be with sisters and brothers. I want to go now to Matthew 4. We saw the scripture from our Old Testament reading earlier, but let's go to Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. And on the screen, we'll be using the New Living Translation. You're welcome to use whatever translation that you have in print or electronic mode. As we go to the gospel, let us listen. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." A little farther up the shore, he saw two older brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them, "Come," and they immediately followed him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was much younger, a sophomore in college, I was taking a class in my second semester called embryology. Loved it. It was the class in the biology department that was called the weeder out class. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people started the class. Not so many finished the class. And our professor was Dr. Weiser. And he was a delightful professor. He had very high standards for us. We were in the labs all kinds of hours. And in this class, we studied the development from one-celled to a many-celled organism. It happened to be a chicken. I love the class because it was strenuous. It was so fascinating to me. And Dr. Weiser would stay with us till about 7 or 8 o'clock at night in the lab, looking through the microscope into slides. And then he would go home and we would stay on in. And we'd have to learn germ layers and what cells developed into this layer and that, and then that became what, a organ. And he had a way with us of teaching us, of asking questions, of encouraging us. At the same time, his exams were ridiculous. Honestly, you could ask us the minute we walked out of the class what question was on the test, and we couldn't tell you. you know. But he was encouraging. And he would always guide us with questions. And I remember when I was entering graduate school, becoming a teaching assistant, he asked me to be his teaching assistant. He saw something in me and how I interacted with other students in that class that he wanted to help me develop my teaching skills. He saw something in me that he wanted to develop. He saw the teacher in me. He saw the calling God had on my life to become a teacher. He held me up to a high standard. He pushed me. He pushed me hard, but he loved me into the calling God had on my life. And for that, I will be forever grateful. For most of how I am a teacher today is because of Dr. Weiser. Let's pray. Holy, gracious, loving God, you call to us. You call to us to be here today. You call to us through grace to become the people you created us to be. You placed in each of us at the moment of our creation, when those two cells became one, gifts. Special gifts unique to us that you want us to use to glorify you. That you want us to use to help other people to become who you've created them to be. And you call to us to work together to build your kingdom on earth. And sometimes, God, we have wandered from that. So help us right here, right now, to listen to your word and to listen to your voice, that we may, through the power of your Holy Spirit, rekindle the call, the claim that you have on our lives. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into this place. Ignite within each of us your fire, and ignite within this body, your bride called Rehoboth, enthusiasm and a fire that we may become what you will have us become today and tomorrow and the next day. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for we need and yearn to hear your voice. And let the church say, amen. Two very different stories that we've witnessed today, the call of Moses and the call of the first disciples. Now, did you catch that Moses was a shepherd? And the first disciples were fishermen. Shepherd, fisherman, the two great metaphors for Christ. Shepherd and fisherman. There's some similarities in their stories, if you will allow me to be obvious here. In both stories, the call to each of these disciples came from a divine voice. In Moses' call, it was the call of God's voice through the burning bush. And in the call of the early disciples, it was the actual voice of the embodied God, Jesus. Speaking out, just like in the moments of creation. The voice calling into these lives that had been, for Moses, chaotic, and had been for the fishermen somewhat ordinary, but a voice speaking out to them. And in both cases, Moses and the fishermen required a response that had within it some particles of faith. Now, granted, Moses and the fishermen could have turned from the invitation to follow, but they did not. They had faith. And in both cases of the shepherd and the fisherman, they had a choice. They could have left the voice. They could have said no to the bush and no to the person on the beach and continued on with their lives of shepherding sheep and gathering fish, or they could have followed. And did you notice that neither of them asked to study the situation? Neither of them required dogma or a list of beliefs. They simply followed. They did not require a list of here's what's going to happen, a guarantee, if you will. They simply followed. They didn't even require a mental assent into what this person was asking. In fact, they didn't even really know. Moses didn't know this person that was speaking from the bush. And we're not really sure if the fishermen had ever encountered Jesus before. There's a big debate as to whether the fishermen were followers of John the Baptist or were they simply fishermen. They all just left. Now, let me ask you. Someone walks into your place of work or your home and says, pack it up, let's go. How many of us are going to say, no, wait a minute. I need to see your background check. I need to know your bank account number. I need to know our itinerary. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And Methodists, we're going to form a committee and study it to death. I can just tell you how it's going to work at annual conference. Yeah, we're going to spend 3 years looking at it, and by that point, the person is gone, right? Mm-hmm. You see, the call is always connected to discipleship. It always is. We hear a tug on our heart. We hear something speak within our spirit, and to be a disciple means that we first must hear this calling. And if you claim that you follow Jesus, you've been called. If you have been baptized, you have been called. So many times we in the church save the word called to those of us who are in vocational ministry. But that is not true. If you have been sprinkled, dunked, or poured over in the waters of baptism, you have been called. All of you here have been called by God. If you are a disciple, you have been called by the prevenient grace of God working in your lives. You have been called, called out, set apart. And that call will often ask you to change directions. Will it not? You were going one way, and this thing called being a disciple will often require a radical change. It did for Moses and the fishermen. Actually, discipleship is first a calling, then a following. And you... When it comes to that, discipleship is not necessarily trusting the roadmap or the directions. It's trusting the one who is leading. And if you don't trust the one who is leading, you got to ask, who's really leading? Am I leading? Is a person leading? Or is Jesus the Christ leading? If you're unsure about who you're following, then check who it is you're following. And for both the shepherd and the fisherman, they had a biblical discipleship pathway, which is very different than the one we see in the church. Often in the church, we teach discipleship this way. You got to know, you got to grow, then you got to go. Let me unpack that for you. We teach all the facts. You know, you got to get all this head knowledge. Then you got to grow up a little bit in the faith, and then we send you out. Well, what the Bible shows us, particularly in these stories and other call stories, is that first you go, you follow. Moses followed the voice of God. The disciples followed Jesus first. They got to know the person. They got to follow him. They got to grow in their relationship with the one they were following. And then they knew. Then they knew him. The disciples followed Jesus for 3 years before they could proclaim who he was. Moses had to follow the divine voice back into Egypt to lead the people out and then back through the desert before Moses really had a handle on who this God was. You see, in the church, we like to, particularly the modern day church, we like to turn things around. We won't put everything in the head first before we put it in the heart. We want to study it to death. Amen? Because when we do that, then it doesn't transform us. It's not a relationship. When we put it in our head first, then we begin to control it. And it doesn't control us. We become the master, as opposed to us becoming the one who is simply being the obedient servant. Calling is scary because we have to be obedient. We have to submit. We have to give up control. And I have trouble with that. Personal confession. I have trouble with that because I want to make my plans and then say, God, is that okay with you? As opposed to saying, God, you tell me what you want. And I'll do what you want. I'm probably not the only one that has that issue, right? And as a church, that's very hard too, because sometimes God will say to a faith community, I want you to do things differently. And that's scary too. It's even harder for organizations to give up control. But there's no way that we can help build the kingdom. There's no way that we can be totally obedient to God until we realize that God is the one and the only one to be served. Until we realize that God is the one who should be the center, the one who should be on the throne, and not us. God is God. We are not. God is the one to be worshiped. God is the one to be adored. God is the one who knows a whole lot more than we do. Our calling is to serve God with those gifts. To serve God with all that we are and all that we have. All of us here are gifted. All of us. We were gifted at our birth, and throughout our lives, other gifts are raised up within us. And God wants to help us use those for the building of the kingdom. It's a matter of, are we willing? Are we willing to allow God to use those gifts as a way of saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all the blessings. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for the love that it's unconditional, for the manifold grace, for always, always being present. No one loves you like God does, amen? So my prayer for me, for each of you, for Rehoboth, is that we discover, rekindle a calling where we use our gifts and we help each other to use their gifts so that God is glorified. God is worshiped. God is proclaimed by our lives. You know what I say about that? Thanks be to God. Amen.